The first scripture comes today from Isaiah 52, 7 through 10. That is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. In these verses, we hear about God's restoration of his people, which is promised to happen soon. During Advent, we look forward to Jesus coming back as scripture said that he would. Let's read. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together in singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Here ends the first scripture reading.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Well, I want to welcome you to hopefully a somewhat subdued, quiet, calm Christmas Eve morning service, because we have been on an exciting journey up to now. It feels like it's only been a few weeks, and it feels like it's been 1 week less than what we normally get, but we have been on this journey, and we just have a couple more steps that we have to finish before we get to the culmination of what we call the end of this Advent journey. And that happens tomorrow, when each one of us in our own settings find ourselves on Christmas Day, wherever we may find ourselves, to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And many of us, I know I am, are on the edge of our seats for tomorrow, and we can't wait. This year, and I don't know if this is the case for you, but for me, this is the first year that all my presents are wrapped already. Not the one that they're giving me, but the ones that I'm giving to other people. I wrapped all my presents last night. And normally, after the 11 o'clock service tonight on Christmas Eve, I'm home wrapping presents, but not this year. So I feel like I am ready. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. But this time that we gather here today, on this Sunday morning and then again this evening, it does remind me what we heard Linus say of what Christmas is all about. Christmas, I hope we're able to capture at least for a moment its essence this morning. And so this morning we do hear a Christmas story where Jesus is born. Now we're going to read that last gospel that we haven't read yet. It's not the last of the gospels, but we've looked at all the other gospels. And when we read the verse that we're going to see this morning, we see a baby born without a miracle. We just see a baby. And Luke spares us the details, and we can assume that Mary had a natural childbirth, and nobody, for now, at least in this story, knew this family. No one knew this baby, even though tonight, in the scripture that we're going to look at, that changes very quickly. But for now, for these first seven verses, we have a normal baby, a normal birth, in a normal setting, where everything happens quickly. And the quietness and the calmness in which Luke describes this birth, I think it helps us to remember that Christmas, it's not about gift giving. It's not about who we are or what we get or what we give. But it's rather about the humility that Jesus came for each one of us, that God has a heart for us, each and every one of us individually. So the other Christmas stories, we looked at Matthew. We see the kings, we see the royalty, we see the wise men visiting Jesus. We saw John, and in John he says, Jesus is God. And we have that proclamation. We see Mark where he completely skips the Christmas story because he wants to get to the miracles. He wants to get to the fact that Jesus is who all the prophets said that he was. And so let me show you how I can prove that to you because of what he did. But today, at least in these first seven verses, Luke, he doesn't have any miracles. There's nothing out of the ordinary that takes place. The bright light is it's off somewhere else, maybe with the shepherds, those shepherds that Linus spoke about. A child was born like any other, and he was born like any of us. So this morning, hopefully you can just kind of take a deep breath, relax, enjoy the ordinariness of Jesus' birth. That should remind us that God has a heart for you. For you, personally, as seen in his humble beginnings. So let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It's a very familiar story for you. But let's hear it again. Let's hear it and hopefully see it with new eyes. And in those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went into their own towns to be registered. Joseph also, he went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee. He went to Judea, to the city of David, that city called Bethlehem, because Joseph was a descendant from the house and family of David. And he went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So one thing you don't see on our cars are bumper stickers. And one of the reasons why, go ahead, Leah, if you are able to find that. There it is. One of the reasons why is because I don't like competition, right? And so there you see some competition that used to take place in the first century. Do y'all get it? Or is it just not funny? Okay, it's not funny. You can take it off, Leah. That's fine. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was great. Should we start over again and... But for me, the beauty of Christmas is that simplicity that Jesus is God, right? Is that simplicity that Jesus came as one of us and was born in a manger. And as Luke portrays it, at least in these first seven verses in chapter 2, so just stay in those verses. Don't jump ahead to tonight. It's tempting. It's tempting to jump ahead to the shepherds and to jump ahead to the wise men, but we're not there yet. And in fact, tonight we're going to take that next step, and the final heart of Christ in our sermon series is going to be this evening. So you all have to come back this evening to one of the either the 8 or the 11. Come to the 4:30. Spend the whole day here. Just hang out. Now, the simplicity of the Christmas story, which I think this sanctuary reflects that. The simplicity of the greens and the white lights and the red poinsettias and the manger scenes. It reminds us that a child is born, like any one of us. And all over Scripture we are told that when Christ was born and when Christ lived and when Christ was told who he was going to be like, when Scripture foretold that this is who the Messiah is going to be like, over and over and over again we find reflected in Scripture a humble Christ, a humble Messiah, and someone who would require humility from those who served him as well. So let's look at some scriptures in the Old Testament where we read about a humble servant who was born on Christmas Day. We're going to flip through some scriptures. You're welcome to open them up or just write them down and find them later on if you wanted. But in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3, it speaks of one who will come and he will not cry out or lift up his voice or make it heard on the streets. That's who Jesus was, someone who came and lived his life and didn't cry out or lift up his voice. It points to the humility of Christ. We read also the advantages and the strengths that you can find in humility. You find it in Proverbs 15, verse 33. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, we read that humility goes before honor. So the converse of that would be you assume that those without honor are those without humility. Proverbs 15, 13, that's Jesus, someone who was humble, someone who had honor. Leviticus, we hear God addressing the leaders of the people of Israel and stating that if the people will humble themselves, then he will forgive them. That's Jesus who came and forgave us, even those times when we don't humble ourselves. And over again, we find God reminding us and calling us to be humble. We see in the New Testament the same message is repeated. And in Luke chapter 18, the same gospel, verse 14, Jesus himself says, "All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." We know that Jesus was exalted. Again, in Matthew 11, verse 29, Jesus says, "Take on my character, take on who I am. I am humble and gentle in heart." But really, a couple places, the Apostle Paul, when he writes in Philippians chapter 2, I hope you're keeping up. If you're not, just trust me, these verses are there. They're right. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, we read that Christ emptied himself. He humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. That's the ultimate humility, is dying on a cross for something you did not do. And Colossians, lastly, tells us to clothe ourselves. We are to clothe ourselves in humility, just like Jesus did. So you see, the humility of the manger is matched with the humility of the cross. And the humility of Jesus in the garden who stated, "I will do your will, even though I know it's going to be painful," is matched with his mother Mary's humility at the beginning, even before he was born, when she said, "I am a handmaiden of the Lord, let it be done as you have said." So steeped in this humility is the realization that Jesus has a heart for each one of us, not just as a group. And we preach in Isaiah, talk a lot about, you know what, folks, we're a family, we're a community, and we ought to do things together and reach out into the community. And that is true. But today I want you to just think of who you are as an individual. Think of what Jesus did for you as a person, as an individual. Put your first name there. And there's nothing that raises our awareness of our humanity than humility. There's nothing that makes us more aware of who we are as people, as individuals, than someone who would sacrifice themselves for us. Because in the back of our mind, maybe some of us is thinking, are we really worth it? Are we really worth it? And this may sound like just another Christmas Eve morning sermon on humility, and maybe it is. But it's encouraging to read in our faith story that our Savior's mother, Mary, had to travel 100 miles by foot or by donkey. Either way, it's not an easy journey before giving birth. She's one of us too, isn't she? Every person in this story in Luke is just like us. And Luke does that on purpose so that we won't distance ourselves from the reality and from the basic details that take place in the story, the details that are, well, don't fit the scene around us, the septic scene, the clean scene that we have in our minds. It's nice to know that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloths like any other Palestinian baby of that day would have been wrapped in. He was laid in a manger like any other poor, unnoticed child would be in that situation, just like any other kid. No one respected him. No one respected them. At least not enough to give them a place to be in this most sensitive and delicate time in their lives. First child being born. How many of you had your moms or your mother-in-laws present when your first child was born? I'll raise my hand. Yeah, she was there for like a year because we had no idea what we were doing. It didn't feel that way, but just like any other kid. It wasn't a Cheers bar where they walked in and everyone called out their name. No one knew their name. And no one was glad that they were came. Go outside. That's where you belong. And all of this just so that we would be eternally noticed. And all of this so that each one of us would be recognized by our Savior, the very Savior who wasn't noticed by anyone and yet noticed us. Knows us by name. We love to be noticed. At times, humility does come hard. This Christmas Eve morning, we do need to hear a sermon on humility. We need to be reminded over and over and over again because God never stops reminding us in His Word of how important it is to be humble. And this lesson in humility not only puts us in our place, but also kind of reminds us that we are individuals and we have weaknesses as well. I do stress the fact that we are a family and that we ought to reach out as a community. But as individuals, you have an impact in this community. Did you know that this week alone, just over this past 7 days, we have given out 24 food bags? 24. Okay. That's not a few. That's a lot. You as individuals are making an impact. Just as individuals, you have been impacted by what Christ has done for you. And part of our identity as Presbyterians is that we are always connected to each other. And when we take communion together, we take it as a family together. When we baptize, we do it within a community. But every now and then, and today is one of those Sundays when it's important to hear that God has a heart for you, and put your name in there. It would seem that maybe a lesson on humility might fall on deaf ears in this time of year because we are called to be celebratory, and I am looking forward to celebrate tomorrow. We're called to be joyful this morning, and we come with joy and full of anticipation. I can't wait for the Christmas pageant. It's kind of like youth group. The more people who get hurt, or the more fun it is, you know. No, that's not going to happen tonight. I was talking about youth group, not the Christmas pageant. I can't wait for the candles and the singing of the silent night. But none of this should be built around our sense of ability or our confidence in ourselves. First Presbyterian, we are filled, we're a church filled with people who are successful in many different ways. We've had our share of success, and as individuals, so maybe this can be a great struggle when we talk about humility. It's easy to rely on our name notoriety because we think it has gotten us far. But we're misguided when we think that way. Because it's God who raises us up. It's God who brings us down. And Christmas, more than any other time, ought to remind us of that because of the humility that is at the core of Jesus' birth that we find in Luke that tells us that he was born in a specific way, and that specific way was exactly the way that we were born. And today is a day, this Christmas Eve morning day, that we can come and gather as a family and be humbled by the sacrifice for us that God has made for us. Not just by sending Jesus, but also sending him to be born in a manger and then to die on a cross. We can't see the manger without recognizing the cross. And there's nothing more humbling than having someone help you out when you really need it. We have a hard time asking for help. Jesus did it even without us asking. But humility is something that we don't normally see in the world around us, but Christ has infused it as part of our faith. And maybe this church is not only filled with people who have had success, but also filled with people who don't feel worthy and don't think they deserve to be here. It's important to have some humility, but not to go too far. Because not a single one of us deserves what God has done for us. It was a gift. But there is a gift that we can give back, and that is to respond then with humility as we talk to brothers and sisters in Christ, as we reach out to the community, as we talk with people outside of our circles. We can do it in a way that reflects the humility that Christ taught us in his life, in our work, in our family. And this church, we're able to come together this morning in these important moments because we leave our pride at the door. We ought to leave our pride at the door. We leave all that which may make us think that we're more than we really are. And we leave who we are and who we aren't and redefine ourselves then through the eyes of the one born in a manger who has a heart for each one of us as individuals. So when you leave today this sanctuary, keep that humility as a blanket around you. Leave today changed by the Christmas story as you put on a mantle of humility that God never wants you to take off. Don't be humble here and then leave the sanctuary, leave the church as someone who's different. Keep that mantle of humility, because that is what Jesus requires from each one of us. And he does have a heart for you. Let us pray. Loving God, we do come before you now, and we give you thanks and praise for the fact that you died for each one of us. God, as Gene said, it is Easter. We give you thanks for that. Because we can't find ourselves in the basking in the warmth of the Christmas glow, in the birth of our Savior Jesus, without recognizing the ultimate sacrifice that he made for us. So we come before you now this Sunday, basking in that glow while at the same time recognizing the enormous sacrifice that you made. And it is exactly that sacrifice that ought to humble us. So that when we go out into the world and when we interact with family, when we interact with coworkers, when we interact with friends, we would do it in such a way that would be marked with humility. Because we know that you have a heart for us, each one of us individually. We pray this now in your holy name. Amen.